This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome aboard. Thanks for watching on YouTube TV, listening on SiriusXM channel 189, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our great affiliates. Busy hour coming up. Some great baseball numbers to look at tonight in 15 minutes. Todd Furman on the program, former longtime odds maker, now a podcast host, CBS Sports HQ as well, going to join the program. And our pizzeria bets coming up in 45 minutes. Paulie, update the crowd here, because you have Mickelson right in this match at a plus number. You did a Costanza bet on him today.
And the over.
And
we have life.
Tiafo now has a he told himself in this set, I must break you. And he did.
And then he won the next game. He held serve. So in a span of 3 minutes, Mickelson went from minus 7,000 to 330 to win the match.
Every there you go.
It's 6-5.
It's 6-5 now, Tiafo.
Come on. He's still got to win the tie. This is outrageous.
What's the current total, by the way?
He's $3 to win the match. He's up 2-0. He's still got to win the tiebreaker.
Well, looks
that's
like
that's crazy.
Are we on pace to win that 33.5? It's at 21. Yeah. What are we at? 32 right now? 32? That looks pretty good. Is that a winner? Luke, 33.5. That should be a winner right now, right? Based on my math. And he goes from, so what was Tiafo?
I'm seeing 43.5 now, the total for
the
games.
Oh, that still might be. If he wins this, by the way, the plus 2.5 is going to come in.
Man.
And when we talked about this earlier in the previous hour, Gordy chimed in and he said that he took Tiafo plus 2.5 sets plus 110. This set's not over with, but I hope that it certainly cashes for Gordy and anybody else who actually grabbed that.
From 7,000 to $3. Just like that in two matches.
Give me a football game or a basketball game where this is like Paul Skeens and Jackson Merrill, NL Rookie of the Year a couple years ago.
Yeah. Boy, how this flipped.
Yeah.
But this is the insanity with the in-play with tennis, though. How it can go crazy, but they're disrespecting him now at this point. I mean, the guy
Are the numbers. I mean,
well, the guy hasn't lost a set, and he's only $3 to win the match, and it's also what Tiafo has left in the tank, too. But they're going crazy at Arthur Ashe.
Would you ever want to go to this event?
This is going to be absolutely. It's going to be a 5 hours. Five-hour match here if this keeps going. Go ahead, what?
God, I'm going to sound 120 years old right now, but here goes. This would be a bucket list event to go to. The U.S. Open has always been, like, very high up there. However, have you seen the people who are, our age group reacting to the 20-something...
Well, they should.
...year-old influencers?
They should.
That's all it's about?
And Wimbledon has already said they're going to crack down on it, and they're aware of it. So all these young people are going to the event, and they have no idea of tennis etiquette.
Nope.
So as much as you want to rip the cake eaters and what have you for the quiet please and whatever, like, you don't say quiet when Aaron Judge is trying to hit a 99-mile-an-hour fastball with the bases loaded. But in any event, you can't be singing and walking around and doing stuff in your suite while the match is going on.
And making crazy loud videos and all that, yeah.
Yeah, so that, and Wimbledon's already said we're on top of it. So, and then they also gave out too many passes, and it's hard to navigate and get around there as well.
Yeah.
So down to $1.70.
Well, he's up now 30-0 here.
Yeah, he could break him here. Break him again, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, Mickelson had a great shot to get that. Yeah, he went right to the top of the net.
What's the highest you saw, Luke? 31-1? 32-1?
32-1. Tiafo.
Yeah, Tiafo to come back and win, 32-1.
Wow.
If he can hang on, if he can break him here, we're going to the fourth set, Johnny.
This is
going to
have, if he can make it, if he can go to the fourth and then the fifth, this is going to be shades of, what was it, the 2025 French? Right? When Sinner had Alcaraz dead and buried, triple match point, right?
Yeah. What is it about not being able to close?
It's
a mind game, though.
Oh, the mental.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. No question.
I forgot to mention this yesterday. When Madison Keys blew the 5-0 lead in the third set, and she was up 5-1 with match point, she is repeatedly hitting herself in the head with her racket.
With a racket?
Yeah. Air after air after air. And she's just beating herself up.
30-30. Big one there.
God.
Well, I never bowled on the professional tour, but I'm a pretty good bowler overall.
Sure.
Ultra competitive.
Pete Weber, crotch chap?
Well, when it's not going well, like I get heated, man.
Sure.
I am not a happy camper out there. It's very difficult for me to enjoy bowling. Yep. I love it. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but when it's not going well, I just am so furious out there on the lanes.
Does Ben Shelton get a set tonight off Alcaraz? 150-mile-an-hour serve.
I'll go yes.
All right.
What does that pay?
Yeah, that'd be the way to bet it. The spread's minus 4.5 for Alcaraz. Can't wait to 420. But top 10 player. Whole stadium will be rooting for him.
Oh, no question. No
be
doubt.
Juicy. What do you got, kid?
Okay, so for football contests out here, for example, Circa Millions or the Super Contest. The Super Contest has 500 people in it.
Yes.
Okay, the buy-in there is 1,500. Here, it's 1,000. There are over 4,000 people in that contest. The guarantee is $6 million for it, $1,000 a buy-in. I'm at 7 plays right now, Paulie. 7. If these are going to be the numbers, we won't know until later in the week. Circa puts out the millions numbers on Thursday morning. I'm at Steelers minus 3 is one of my possibilities against Atlanta.
Yep.
I think this number is too low. I don't like the Falcons going into the season. And I think the Steelers are going to be a typical Pittsburgh team where they finish 8-9, probably 9-8 in that range. Solid defense overall, and I can just trust the offense to do enough to cover that number. Texans plus 1, absolutely on the card as of right now. Josh Allen, 1-4 in his career against Houston. Week 5, 2024, he was 9-30 for 131 yards. The lowest completion percentage for any quarterback with at least 30 attempts in the last 30 years. He was 24-34 last year, 253 yards, 7.4 yards per attempt, no touchdowns, 2 INTs. And they lost that game. Houston has his number. That's a consideration. I'm pondering the Jets plus 1.5.
Oh.
Any points in this game?
Oh.
Like, I think it's going to be a lower scoring game. The total reflects that. But it's also the Jets roster overall. On paper, they're better than the Titans, in my opinion. And they're getting 1.5, might be 2. I just got to take any amount of points here with the Jets on a neutral. Or, I'm sorry, at Tennessee.
All right. Can I interest you in the Cowboys? No Smith out for a month. Big loss. Dak has beat the Giants 14 in a row.
They're out of my card.
All this hype and this crap, and we got to watch this game every time on Sunday night on week 1. A lot of people think the Cowboys can win the division. Dak owns them. I mean, at 14 in a row, that's scary.
I know. It's official. Tiafoe won the third set.
He broke them again.
7-5, yep.
All right.
We go to a fourth.
Mickelson's $1.90 in play.
Wow.
Wow, this is juicy.
The Saints plus 7, a consideration. I have a sneaky feeling that's going to be 6.5 in the contest. Might be wrong. Now, this could be a mistake on my part as well because it's a high total, and I anticipate points in this game. It's at 50. And I really expect the Lions offense to be a wrecking ball this year. One of the best in the league. Captain Obvious checking in. But I think the Saints are pretty good. Sneaky, good defensively last year. And I'm a big believer in Tyler Shuck and Kellen Moore going into the year. And plus 7, I think that's a game where they can maybe win it outright. Will the Bears be 2.5 or 3 in the contest?
Probably 2.5.
Probably 2.5. I would lean Bears. I don't like this Panthers team at all.
Right.
And a lot of negativity about the Bears on the defensive side this year. Are the Panthers able to capitalize on that? The Eagles minus 4.5 would be a play for me as of right now against the Commanders.
Yeah. Cosign?
I'm super down on the Commanders this year, every which way but loose, under 7.5, last place in the East. Maybe a flyer on fewest wins for the entire year. So they played the Commanders twice in 3 weeks to close the season. I hate that when the NFL does that. But they won 29-18 in week 16, did the Eagles. The Commanders won 24-17 in week 18. No Jaden Daniels in either game. Philly played all their backups in week 18. It was meaningless. Week 16, when it did matter, Hurts. 22-30, 185, 2 scores, a 111 quarterback rating. Barkley, 21 for 132. Philly's defense absolutely dominated the day. First downs, 26-15. Plays, 66-51. Yards per play, not even close. Eagles were minus 7 in that game. I think this number should be closer to 7, maybe not quite that high, but 4.5 in this game. If that's going to be the number, Philly's probably going to be on the card. And then this one just, I'm a little scared because I haven't heard one person make the case for Green Bay, and I'm on their win total under this year. But don't you like the Vikings -1.5 here in week one?
Well, they better win a game.
All things considered?
Yeah.
They get Kyler Murray.
Be demoralizing. You're at home. You have the brand new quarterback. Green Bay's banged up.
Flores back at DC. You're absolutely right. Green Bay is banged up overall.
Favre and Rodgers rarely won there.
Uh-huh.
Be a killer if you lose. I agree with Paul Allen. You got to win this game if you're the Vikings.
So that would be...
Why not Jacksonville against this awful Cleveland?
Oh, I think it's going to be... What is it going to be, 8.5, 9?
Yeah.
Nah, I'd rather play Jacksonville and like a survivor.
All right.
But I know that's going to be very popular overall. Will Jacksonville... Like, how do you think that split's going to be in Survivor between the Chargers, now down to 8.5, by the way, here at Circa, and Jacksonville around that same number?
A good prop. How many? Yeah, the over-under on Chargers. I don't think it's going to be that high because I think people want to come right back. Or people want to use the Chargers week two against the Raiders.
I think so, too.
Or opportunities down the road.
Because, again, when you look at their schedule overall, when's the next time you're going to use the Bolts? You can't use them until, like, week 11. Week 12.
Really?
Oh, it's their schedule after the Raiders game in week two was insane.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little unfair, actually, what the NFL did to them.
Yeah.
And so more people, by the way, that number on the Raiders is going to grow, I think. A service released them yesterday, -3.5. That has an impact, obviously, on the market. And the thought there would be, again, and I'm not advocating a Raiders play, but the thought would be Dolphins' worst team in football. When are you ever going to use the Raiders again? We do have some breaking news for the game tomorrow night between the Patriots and the Seahawks. We'll give you that. And a former Cy Young winner makes his 2026 debut. Opta AI loves his K-prop, but this smells like a Costanza special coming up. Here's your breaking news for the game tomorrow night. Patriots at the Seahawks, Super Bowl rematch, week one lid lifter. And it is Travion Henderson will not play. He's been ruled out. It is official. I think we all pretty much anticipated that. So who do you look at now for the Patriots? The numbers on the screen right now for Ramondre Stevenson for the rushing yards prop. It says 54.5 still at DK, 55.5 at FanDuel, as high as 59.5. Mm. The way it looks, before this news popped, his receiving receptions prop was 3.5 over plus money. It's still there the way it looks. And receiving yards overall, because he's a good receiver out of the backfield, Paulie. 23.5 can be had right now. Maybe that's worth a play on the over. That seems kind of manageable to me.
Now, what's going to happen with Kiner? Can he get some carries in light of what's going on with him being out?
Well,
I'm with you on Stevenson props, too. He's going to have a big dose and a heavy dose. Shaheed is up at Caesars, by the way, 2.5 yards for his. I think they'll give him the ball on an end around. But I would say Kiner, but also who New England's going to look at now for some carries to spell Stevenson and give him a blow.
I thought Kiner was a name that Andy Gresh was going to bring up when he talked to him in the first hour of the show. If you miss it, you can always go back and listen to the Follow the Money podcast. He brought up the fullback, Reggie Gilliam. I don't want to play, like, I don't even know if books will post, like, rushing yards for him. But that would be a guy as maybe an anytime touchdown scorer or first touchdown scorer as a long shot. Reggie Gilliam might be a guy for the Patriots, along with your backup tight end guy. What's his name again? Eli Raddadone?
Yes. I mean, this is incredible. When you look, number one, getting more reps in practice than Henry. A great article in the Boston Globe about it. They have big plans for him. And then there was a piece done on him on NBC Boston.
I haven't even...
On how well the guy... And see how many snaps he gets tomorrow. But, you know, 14-1 anytime touchdown. I don't see anything... Great job by Circa. He's 65-1 here. First touchdown. At least they have that up there. But I don't see anything for yardage yet or receptions. But give it some time. But that's... It's a mutual admiration society going on right now with what's going on with New England and this Notre Dame kid. And the fact that he might get a lot of run for this team.
Baseball card coming up tonight. Some great numbers here. Cubs at the Brewers. The Miz is going for Milwaukee. He got lit up in his last start. It came against this same team in Chicago. Career numbers against the Cubs, though, overall are awesome. 112 plate appearances, 32% K rate, a 170 batting average against the Miz against PCA, 15 plate appearances, zero hits for Crow Armstrong, 10 strikeouts. And now the Miz is back at home. They're laying more than $2. He's 10-1 with a 2.18 ERA and 21 career starts at home versus 9-7 with a 3.3 ERA on the road. Suzuki has two dingers off of him. And I'll say this. They now are at 89 wins, but they have 56 losses. The Dodgers have 57. The Braves have 59.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, and the Dodgers' schedule is absolutely, they're plus 170 right now at Caesars to have the most wins in this month. They might go on like a 15-game winning streak. Who knows? But I look back at last year, what home field meant in that divisional round to the Brewers. Pat Murphy talked about it in several different stories. One quote, when they lost game four of the NLDS at Wrigley, from Pat Murphy, Brewers manager, he said, "I mean, it affected the game. The crowd affected the past two games. It affected the way that we played for sure." So they're 8 games up on the Cubs. Each of those two teams have 17 games left, but I'm talking more about home field advantage in the National League and the Brewers keeping their gas, their pedal to the metal. And in that game as well, Craig Counsell, Cubs manager, said, "The crowd was incredible tonight. I've never seen a baseball game like that. That was just amazing what they did tonight," speaking of the crowd, end of quote. So I'm saying that because the Miz, as of right now, would be scheduled for 4 more starts. And they might have, the home field might be a thing. And they're like, "Yeah, dude, you need to go out and pitch one more time late in the year."
Cubs got to fix this bullpen. They've lost 11 and 19. 8 of the 11 losses, they've blown leads. And they blew the game yesterday, too. So they have to get that fixed as well. And there's a lot of guys who are on fire for props. Devers did it again. Condolences to you.
Can you believe that?
That would have been out of every park but one.
But that park last night.
Are you kidding?
That was a home run in 29 out of 30 ballparks.
God. Two doubles. Again, he continues to rake. Hernandez with the Dodgers on fire. Devers on fire. Riley Green on fire. Machado on fire. And Acuna's hitting .459 in his last 10 games. Seager's hit .430 career against Miller. Perez .467 against Burns. For some numbers there. To start off the card, Baltimore makes a ton of sense. If they sweep Cleveland, they win the tiebreaker, and they would be one game back of the Guardians. The Guardians lose tiebreakers against everybody. Jays, Texas, Houston, Chicago. Bybee, lowest run support in all of baseball. And they're 8-21 in the starts. Young is top 5 ROI. And they are 18-6 when he starts.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a ton of sense in this one tonight. How can Burns be favored? Waka's been hot. He's pitched well. The guy hasn't pitched in 464 days.
Mm-hmm.
And how long will he go? 9.5, Arizona, $1.15. Big game at Kansas City.
Okay, yeah, this, I'm glad you brought it up. This is the game I wanted to break down here. So making his 2026 debut, obviously. Almost two full seasons of missed baseball because of Tommy John. He made a rehab start August 29th, 2 scoreless over 17 pitches. He had a bridge game in Arizona. He pitched 3 innings through 53 pitches around 92, 93 miles an hour. So the plan tonight is to let him throw around 60 pitches. The Royals, here's the Costanza play. Everything points towards the under with his K prop. The Royals have the 5th lowest K rate in Major League Baseball, 20.7% on the year. 4th lowest against righties, 20.3%. 3rd lowest at home, 18.9%. But when you combine all of that, at home versus righties, the Royals have the single lowest K rate out of any team in Major League Baseball, 18.2%. Opposing righties are 56, 35, and 9 to the under their K prop against Kansas City. But OptaAI, VSiN.com, they love his K prop over tonight. It has Costanza written all over it here. Right? Ignore going under. Trust the OptaAI. He has 4+ Ks in the game.
Good luck to everyone.
Now, having said that, I don't know if I can get there.
I know. Yep. What do you do with Aaron Judge? He didn't do it. He didn't want to do any rehab. Missed 84 games. First game since May 31st. You going to have a hit tonight? You're going against a lousy outfit and a bad pitcher. .350 Schlittler is tonight at home against the Rockies.
I saw that.
They should win this game by 3 runs or more. Lay the 2.5, lay the 3.5. Colorado strikes out a ton. Horrible outfit offensively. $1.50 on the run line. They should get to Hughes. Big chance here for the Yankees. He should strike out a ton of guys. I just don't think Judge is going to do anything.
I think
he's got to be rusty.
Schlittler should have a similar price, if not higher, than Jacob Mizorowski to win the Cy Young, especially after Cease last night.
Sure, that's fair.
Three starts left, maybe four, but I think it's probably going to be about three for him, and he should be gigantic at this point. Here's one that really intrigues me tonight for a player prop. So Chandler Simpson, ultra fast. He's a lightning bolt out there around the bases, right? So he's also, he could be the guy who does not allow Yordan Alvarez to win the Triple Crown this year because of the batting average. It's a big series for him tonight. He grew up in Atlanta, diehard Braves fan, went to Georgia Tech. He's going to have more than 100 supporters in the section 114 near his position in left field on Tuesday. His parents, two grandmothers, one who has yet to see him play in the majors, sister, aunt, cousin, all going to be in attendance. So he's also like travel ball, lifelong friend of Michael Harris. What's the play tonight with this?
There are total bases ladder?
Total bases, like up to like 3+, 4+. Yeah. A triple is 20-1. He's got 6 of those on the year. Huh? Maybe 2+ stolen bases. The one stolen base is not big enough. It's like +150. A run scored is like +160 overall. I kicked this around with our buddy Wesson earlier today. How about he's too nervous angle?
Two or three. Happens a lot.
3+ strikeouts is 60-1.
Okay, another good way to look at it.
And 2+ Ks is a huge number as well.
Yeah, wanted to impress, expand the strike zone, pressing. Sure. Let me give this as high comedy. Boston's on fire. They're $1.50 at home against the Angels. It's Detmers. He's got the best ERA in baseball since the break. They've lost 8 of the 9 starts.
Can you believe that?
He's got a 1.52. They've scored a total of 14 runs.
It's disgusting.
Oh, God. $1.50, total of 7.5. Go get him tonight. Devers 4.21 in his last 15, by the way. Wanted to give you his numbers. Texas has lost 7 series in a row on the road as well. Since 1917, Omaha Steaks has been America's original butcher. 5 generations of uncompromising quality, backed by unconditional 100% money-back guarantee. Every steak, burger, dog, and brat, 100% American beef. No exceptions, age for tenderness. Right now, get 2 free pounds of 100% American Ultra Premium Ground Beef on any order of $129 or more. OmahaSteaks.com/VEASAN. Make game day delicious. OmahaSteaks.com/VEASAN. See the site for details. The menu's incredible.
Former odds maker Todd Furman next. What's his advice for betting SMU and Florida State games moving forward and Oklahoma, Michigan this weekend? We'll ask him coming up here on VEASAN.
Is Follow the Money on
VSEN. Update U.S. Open now. 4th set. Tiafoe up 3-0. And he trails 2-1 over Mickelson. Mickelson appears to be kind of losing his mind mentally out there. And this is at Arthur Ashe, Pauly?
Yep.
Okay. Not good. He went from -7,000 to a dog in the span of how long? 30 minutes? Less than that?
Less than that.
Okay.
From 7,000 to an underdog.
Crazy. All right, right now we go to the Progressive Guest Line. Former odds maker Todd Furman joins the program now. Welcome back. The Bet the Board podcast with Payne Insider for the football season. You can follow him on X at Todd Furman. It's great to talk to you today, my man. How are you?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. What's not to be excited about with the NFL about 24 hours away kicking off in earnest? And I'm sure you guys have plenty of daily sweats trying to navigate through the U.S. Open on the men's and women's side. So I wish you the best of luck trying to deal with it. Tennis is sport. I do not handicap a lick.
Yeah, there's too much. You can't do it all on your own for sure. Let's how should we approach betting SMU or adjusting like their numbers in Florida State after last night? I mean, can you imagine having SMU -2.5 in pocket last night and not getting the cover? Thank God for those bettors they did. What a crazy outcome.
Pretty wild when you look at numbers mattering. And I know we talk about all the time, especially in the college game, whether it was Toledo, Michigan State falling right on 10, that if you had the dog +10.5 or laid 9.5 with the favorite, and no doubt the handle through the roof, especially with the delay last night. So yeah, kind of one of those spots where if you had SMU, in my opinion, had the right side, despite the turnover margin looking like it did, but it was the full Kevin Jennings experience, flashes of brilliance. And you see the athleticism on full display, and then them going absolutely brain dead with some of their schemes defensively. And more importantly, like you guys said, SMU playing to win the game late, kicking the game-winning field goal rather than punching it in for seven with under a minute to go in that contest.
Danny Cannell had a tweet that in Tallahassee, a kid hit a transformer and knocked out got the power going. What happened? We told the story several times, UNLV, Wisconsin. Were you in the book when that happened and Wisconsin was blowing out UNLV and the same thing happened and the power went out and therefore it was a refund?
You know, it's funny, Paulie, because I think back to times and I felt like I was in the book and then had to check the date on that game, August 31st, 2002. I was in college, so I was dealing with trying to figure out refunds in a very different way, not exactly regulated books behind the counter back then. But why that story is so remarkable is working at Caesars later on, Wisconsin, of course, had a great relationship with UNLV, and it wasn't just coincidence that they would come out here for a non-conference games. Brett Bielema loved to have a little skin in the game, so yeah, to speak, in the casino, so it was always fun to see his names come up on our in-house reports, knowing that he may not necessarily have been focused on the field against the Rebels back then, but trying to figure out how he could claw a few dollars out of the casino at the blackjack table.
Mm-hmm. Murray, what his wife?
Huh?
What a story.
That's absolutely
met his
nuts.
Wife at the blackjack.
Sure. What is your advice for us and the audience on how to approach betting the Michigan-Oklahoma game after what we watched on Saturday night?
It's one of those things, Mitch, that years ago when I was kind of coming up in the business before the portal era, everyone told me you never want to overreact or underreact, especially in college football, to just one data point. The problem being with that now is if you don't overreact or even underreact over the first month, you can find yourself chasing some of these numbers into oblivion. And this is the perfect illustration. I mean, Michigan, a 1.5, 2-point favorite on a lot of the game of the year numbers with DK or here locally with South Point. We see Michigan extremely fortunate to get out of there with an outright win as nearly a 4-touchdown favorite. Oklahoma didn't do anything that really wowed against UTEP, who looked like a glorified community college on Friday night. But you see the market shifting and trying to figure out what you're going to get out of the Bryce Underwood experience. For me, I can't get to Michigan even with this massive shift in the market. I would need a 7. But I've learned my lesson in the past that I'm not running to try and sell Michigan stock at the bottom. So this, I think, will tell us a lot more about both these teams. And I still have some concerns about Oklahoma offensively and their ability to win by margin against what should be a good and talented Michigan defense on full display.
Yeah, well said. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Todd Furman, and the Bet the Board podcast is back as well with Payne Insider. You can follow him on X at Todd Furman. NFL here, a couple of numbers I wanted to ask you about for sure. I know that the Rams here at Circa up to 3.5 minus 120. Other spots have moved to 4. Is that the area you think where that game is going to close before kickoff?
I'm surprised that we're seeing the Rams money come in now. A lot of the guys that I work with were intrigued by the dog, but weren't running to try and buy at that 3.5-point threshold, figuring that the public would have a little bit of a say. Didn't think we would see it, you know, 2 days before the game. The handicap on this one is fascinating because I think it boils down to a lot more than just the X's and O's and the familiarity between both head coaches, but it's how you assess the storyline that we're all following with travel. Do the Rams have it figured out coming in late, not acclimating to the Australian time zone in Melbourne, or will the 49ers feel much more comfortable in this spot? The way that I've gone about betting this game is actually playing that first half under. I think we could get a sluggish and lethargic performance, especially from the Rams, knowing that their starters didn't take meaningful reps in the preseason. But I would shop around. The 24.5 have kind of disappeared. 24 would be my cutoff. I think we could see defense and familiarity rule the day in the first 30 minutes.
All right. Are you surprised right now at where we're sitting, Circa? They're down to 8.5 on the Chargers against the Cardinals on Sunday.
I'm surprised by the strength of the move. I'm not surprised that Arizona is taking money, especially at prices of 10.5 or greater. But if you had told me we'd be sitting 8.5 at Circa on Tuesday afternoon, I probably would have told you we're nuts. When you look at this Arizona team, we know what their win total is, and that's a byproduct for me, more of the schedule than the overall talent mix. I don't have them power rated at the bottom of the league like a lot of folks, and I think they can be point spread darlings. Just so difficult to go out there week one when we're still trying to figure out what this Chargers offense will look like under Coach McDaniels, offensive coordinator. Now, and for a team defensively that I think could really struggle against an Arizona side that maybe flew under the radar a little bit with what they were able to do in terms of putting up crooked numbers. They were just so banged up defensively down the stretch that I think they're a live dog, but do shop around for those tens that are quickly disappearing from the market entirely.
Follow up to that then, because obviously here at Circa, looking at that 8.5, the teaser down on a 2-team 6-pointer down to 2.5 below that key number of 3 would be tantalizing, but they now charge $1.40. Meaning you have to lay $140 to win $100 on teasers. That's outpriced and you can't bet that number overall. What is the cutoff point you think now for a two-team six-pointer in your opinion and from the guys who you talk to?
For me, it's right around minus -125, and unfortunately, it's gone the way of the dodo bird, that it's an endangered species, if not extinct, trying to find that through regulated outlets. I mean, I remember back, and you guys have been in town, you know, longer than me, thinking about that six-point teaser being available at even money and the mathematical edge you could find, and it just speaks to the level of efficiency and bookmakers trying to do everything they can to discourage folks from taking some of the bait. So what you see is guys getting a little bit more creative, trying to shop around for some of those three-teamers that are out there, three-team teasers at a nice price point. But for me, minus $1.40 on a six-teamer, not going to work. And I have to imagine, gentlemen, there will be plenty of sweaty palms if folks find the Chargers in a one-score game late, knowing the kind of survivor allotment you're going to see for them in week one.
What do you make of the Chiefs this year?
I'm a seller early on, Paulie, because I think this is an offensive line that is going to have some issues. We already see Josh Simmons going to miss week one, the left tackle. Trey Pipkins dealing with a little bit of an injury that he's going to try and gut through. And I'm just not overwhelmed with where this team is from a skill position talent standpoint or what they have on the defensive side, replacing a lot of key pieces, putting so much in Chris Jones as the one player out there that can generate a pass rush opposite George Karlaftis. So for me, I'm going to wait as long as possible on Monday night, hoping that I can grab a flat three on the Broncos. Not sure we're going to get there, but I'm a seller, at least for the month of September with Kansas City, although it is addition by subtraction, bringing in Eric Bieniemy as the offensive coordinator and parting ways with Matt Nagy.
Is there a number currently available in week one that you have in pocket that you still like that we can get down on?
You know, I'm a buyer of Minnesota early on, so I have a little bit on the Vikings, a cheap money line price right around that minus $1.15, minus $1.20. I have no problem with folks who want to lay that minus one. Green Bay for me is a team that I sold in the win totals market at 10.5 and have some real concerns about both their offensive and defensive line. We saw the note earlier today that Marshawn Lloyd is going to be in a bit of a timeshare, so they're trying to figure out the running back distribution. And without Micah Parsons, there's nobody that truly scares you on the defensive side. It is a little bit frightening to try and back Kyler Murray making his true debut under KOC's offense, but I think with home field advantage factored in, this almost boils down to a must win for the Vikings with the element of surprise. I think Minnesota wins this game going away, and I'm closer to this being a three even money on the favorite than where it currently sits at one.
Strong, very good. In about 90 seconds here, that number for the lid lifter tomorrow night now here, by the way, down to three with some juice on the Seahawks. What do you make of that? I know the Seahawks have had a lot of departures from last year's Super Bowl winning team, but on a neutral field in that game, when they clobbered the Patriots, they were laying 4.5.
You mentioned the departures, and I think some of those are a little bit underrated in terms of that Seahawks depth, most notably at that cornerback two position without Reek Woolen. I mean, Devin Witherspoon will no doubt be tasked with trying to take away a portion of the field, but New England much more dynamic through the air, adding A.J. Brown, you know, bringing in Romeo Doubs as well. So I think you're going to see them attack aggressively. No Trayvon Henderson, who's been ruled out, to look for Ramondre Stevenson to be a little bit more involved as a three-down back, and I think as a pass catcher can do some damage. The Seahawks, for me, are a little bit of a sell. Don't have any exposure in that game there, but not surprised that the 3.5 disappeared in the game. Just didn't think it was going to happen, you know, more than a day before kickoff.
Okay, fair enough. Again, you can follow Todd on X, longtime former odds maker here in Las Vegas. He's at Todd Furman, and the Bet the Board podcast is back as well with Todd and Paid Insider. Congratulations on that, man. You guys do an amazing job with the pod, Todd. Thank you, and good luck with week one.
Appreciate it, guys. You guys do the same. Remember, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Don't have to go all in on NFL week one.
There you go. Todd Furman joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Up next, we'll go inside our pizzeria. Long shot bets that you could hit that would result in tremendous paydays coming up here on VSiN.
Service at Mitch and Pauly's?
I don't tip.
You don't tip?
No, I don't believe in it.
Leave us a tip on your way out.
You don't tip.
You don't tip.
What do you mean you don't tip?
You don't believe in it.
The guys crack open the jar and see what the listeners have left behind.
So what, no eating now?
It's time for the tip jar at Mitch and Pauly's Pizzeria.
Who's that, Brian Kelly?
A gabagool, huh?
Ain't no ziti? A gabagool? A little calamar? Rutgers job might be open. Kelly's got to get ready with the Gandolfinis. All right, Sentiman. It's fun now with football here. A lot of creativity. Thanks for some of the tweets and emails. I like what the one guy sent in about creative bets. Jets to finish in third place. I like that.
Even money, right?
Yeah, exactly third place.
Oh, I like that too.
Dolphins going to be awful, but can't catch the Bills or Pats. FTM at VSiN.com or tweet at us. Sal on Long Island. Hey, Sal. Three of the five legs are already in. East Tennessee State money line from March. Sure. Chris Bell, top five from March. Cash it. Batia live to win the Arnold Palmer, plus 190. He's got Goff to win the U.S. Open. She plays tomorrow to get to the semis. And the Yankees to win the American League. 570-1. Yeah. You can do this, Sal.
That's right. That's a hell of a ticket.
You got Judge back? Come on.
By the way, I'd like to meet Sal from Long Island. I bet this dude's got some stories.
Oh, yes. Well said. You can pull this off.
And I know Sal. That's great.
Yeah, the crew last night was saying they think Coco's the favorite. And she's playing great tennis. Jeff in Iowa. Oregon Big Ten. West Virginia Big 12. 182-1. That's
okay.
Aggressive.
Oregon and West Virginia, huh?
Now, West Virginia looked struggled in the second half of the first game, but, boy, you got to fade BYU and Texas Tech.
But how much else, though?
Yeah, okay.
Because if they get, where is Oregon really in the pecking order of the Big Ten? You see their drop? Didn't Oregon go from, I don't pay attention to the rankings. Didn't they go from, 2-6?
They dropped them that many spots?
I think that's what JBT said today on Money Moves. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, wait a second.
Did they drop
it's
Michigan?
It's Boise they beat.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That's true, yeah.
All right. I like what Robin Virginia did. Phillies to beat the Yankees in the World Series, 65-1.
Okay.
This Phillies team's going to be a problem.
Of course.
At pitching something.
I know others who are betting exact is tying in the Yankees to come out of the American League. They tried to bet them against every team in the National League at nice numbers.
They dropped Michigan 8 spots. They dropped Oregon 4 spots.
Come on. Exhibit number 6 million, why these polls have to go bye-bye.
It's Ryan in Las Vegas. He was our graphic designer when the show was in the mornings. We missed the mornings.
I saw him a couple weeks ago here.
Good guy, yeah. He's great.
Awesome dude.
He can get out of the sand trap like nobody's business. Cubs win the National League. Bears win the NFC. Chicago special. Portillo's on the side, 103-1.
That's just a meat and potato special there. And that's...
I'm pulling for you, but...
So am I. What's wrong with that ticket?
Now, the Bears, for one, it's a problem. Can you stop anything?
What's their ceiling
this
year, specifically?
Win a playoff game.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
What if Ben Johnson's right? Set the all-time scoring record.
Still got to stop people. Joe DeFan on X. Bengals, Bills, Rams win the division. Wizards over their win total. Capitals top three in the division, 26-1.
Holy smokes, you're really digging deep here. But I also think Joe, doesn't he not live in D.C.?
Yes.
I think that makes some sense there. Keep it local.
Wizards over.
Okay, it all pops.
Yeah,
they keep all the players.
Yeah, DeBonsa, Young, AD.
Right.
Loaded East, though. Nobody tanking. Going to be tough. Jimmy on Cape Cod. Aces make the finals of the WNBA.
He has my attention.
Louisville wins the ACC. Big game with SMU next week. Cowboys win more games than the Chiefs, 63-1. Creative. I like it. Got a shot.
Well, a couple of
Miami's a freight train, but you can do it.
Yeah, that's...
Louisville can make the ACC title game.
Yeah, they can.
Maneuver.
They can.
Justin, producer of Money Moves. Gavin Williams strikeout leader for the season. He put it in. But right before he put it in, Williams had 11 and took the lead. Caesars has pulled the market down. Williams strikeout leader, Eagles division. Now, then you can just end it, Justin. But then he added Sixers to win the East and Ohio State to win the college football championship. 470-1.
Well, hopefully that he gets there with Williams. I have that leaderboard surrounded with everybody not named Jacob Mizorowski.
Okay.
I wonder if that's going to come back and bite me in the hind end.
You got a shot. You got a shot, Justin.
He does. I mean,
it'll be a long way.
He added a lot to it, though.
Sixers, yeah. And OMB's going to get hurt. Trevor in Florida. He placed it after the NBA draft. Dodgers World Series. Jags and Hornets win their division. LSU, oh my God, LSU wins it all. 1,600-1. Hornets. Damn. Yeah.
That's the division with Miami.
No.
Atlanta. No, the Hornets are going to be a factor this year. They're really good. They're really good.
FTM,
hey, it's a long shot, man. Yep. You offer me 1,500 right. to one on anything. Sure. I got to consider it.
Good job, guys. FTM at VSiN.com. A kaleidoscope of emotions here. This is nuts.
Well, I hope people were betting Tiafo on cross-sport parlays as well.
Well, 32-1 in play.
No, I saw 40.
You saw 40?
So we got an email on that, yeah. So at FanDuel, they were offering 40-1 on him when he trailed in the third set 5-3.
Then he won seven games in a row. And then Mickelson, down 3-love in the fourth set, regrouped and, like, called a timeout and went over and talked to his coach.
It was a wise move. He needed it.
Because it's just, it's coming unglued. And again, the whole crowd, even though he's American, the whole crowd is for Tiafoe because they want to get their money's worth and they want to see five sets. And they like Big Foe anyways. But now it's 4-2. As he's trying to force a fifth set. Luke pointed out on a broadcast, they said he's 2-17 all time when it goes to five sets.
Well, he's on the verge of breaking Tiafoe right now.
And now he moved to a, so the swings here are crazy. So he went from minus 7,000, 8,000 to an underdog in 20 minutes.
And now he's $1.40 to win.
And after
your boy Mickelson, I'm talking about Mickelson.
And after serving for the match up 5-3, hadn't lost a set the whole tournament. Now you're saying, will he lose three sets in a row and collapse? And can Tiafoe do the impossible?
Yeah, you're getting at least a minimum here of a 20-cent change on every point. Minimum. Now it's 40-30 with Tiafoe here on serve again. And DraftKings always, you know, all these sports books are ahead of the TV broadcast by between, 60 and 90 seconds. And now it's basically a pick 'em. Now they go to deuce. So a nice rally by and just like that, he's $1.50, Tiafoe. Big Foe. So that just flipped again, almost a dollar both ways here.
The total's 51.5.
With the last two
points. It was as low as 32.5.
Yeah, it went over.
Oh, this is great.
Yeah, that total that we talked about went over.
Yep.
40-1 live to win this thing. And now if you obviously got down on that, you can...
Like Luke said.
You can cash out or you can take the other side.
To go five sets is minus $8.
Wow.
Oh, this changed. Oh, this is nuts.
And now Tiafoe at a... Yeah. Yep. So how do you...
The first match today was pandemonium because Sabalenka won the first set and then it looks like she was going to break her to start the second. She was 1,600 in play.
Mm-hmm.
And then a gal comes all the way back, wins the second set, and she led 4-2 in the third and then was serving up 4-3. Sabalenka finally broke her. And then won the tiebreaker in the third to win the match. I think she's going for the three-peat at the U.S. Open. So that was incredible, the swings. Nothing like this, though. But
Mickelson's throwing the racket now.
Another error?
Tiafoe has advantage here. Up 4-2 in the fourth set. So the total amount of games for Shelton and Alcaraz coming up later on tonight is 38.5. Here's the bottom line. Is Ben Shelton going to take one set?
He has to. 150-mile-per-hour serve.
Goran Ivanišević all over again.
Everyone's going to be rooting for him.
Mm-hmm.
Dating Rodman's daughter. Young kid. Top 10 player. American. Can we end the drought? Absolutely.
Yeah, Tiafoe just won, by the way.
I'm ready to call. I think I'm ready to call
this. It's 5-2 now in the fourth.
I'm ready to call this.
You're ready to call it? I thought you were ready to call it with Mickelson an hour ago.
It was over. I know. He imploded.
It ain't over till it's over.
He's never been in this position before. How many times have you seen him throw the racket? He's losing his mind out there.
He's in their timeout.
Everyone's rooting against him. He knows, oh my God, I blew this. I was serving for the match. I blew the third set. Now I'm going to lose the fourth set.
What is he, 21 years old?
22, I think.
22, so he needs. Right. They're in a commercial break right now.
He's never made a quarterfinal until, this is the furthest he's ever been in his career.
He needs to 20,000 collect himself people here in the next 60 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not good.
This is like...
Good point. He's got to get it together and get organized quick.
We'll get into the NFL beginning tomorrow night, go over all of these losses now on the Seattle side, but also breaking news earlier on the Patriots side as well.